Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. What we're going to be talking about in these four programs back-to-back, we're in the second today, is that we're going to be talking about President Nelson Mandela and about being transformed. God has called us to be transformed. And we're going to be talking, hopefully be able to see, you know, what does that mean? And really, when you think about the word transformed in the Greek, it comes from the word where we get the word metamorphosis from, and that's what a caterpillar goes through when it gets into its cocoon and all that, and comes out a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis, which is total transformation. And we're going to talk about how President Nelson Mandela was one man when he went into potentially into a prison. But he goes through a metamorphosis when he's in there. And the man that we know today, who that he is being honored today and during this week and a memorials, is a man that whole situation brought him through a metamorphosis. And we'll be talking about that. And we'll actually begin to think about, you know, who else has done this? Who else has went through this metamorphosis and this transformation? And what is Paul telling us when he tells us to be transformed? To be transformed. And what about doing it outside of going to prison for 27 years?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People say, you know, it's been a long time. It's like, you haven't even been alive for a long time yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in America, our poorest person remembers richer than 80% of the world. So, you know, suffrage? Well, you hear President Nelson Mandela at the age of 95, December the 5th, which is Pearl Harbor Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
7th or 5th? 7th, probably. And he passed away at 95 mm-hmm. years old. He's born in July 18th, 1918. You know, as I began to briefly look at his history, and you know, I've kind of learned over a period of time some things that have happened. He is in another country, another nation.
It is the 7th, by the way.
It is the 7th, and so, you know, this man is amazing. He's totally amazing. But as I looked more at his life, and I was thinking, man, he's not just amazing, he's really amazing. There's a reason why they call him the father of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a congressman. He was the first black attorney in South Africa. Those kind of statements, seeing this a black continent, the people are black there, doesn't make sense. But this is the history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably in regards to the African Congress is there and the government is there. So he was known for, you know, promoting peace, and he was more of the counterpart, if you would, based on history, of Dr. King, because Dr. King's doing the very same thing. At the very same time that Dr. King is walking the streets, meeting with the presidents and doing different things in the context in America, well, Nelson Mandela was doing the same in South Africa. And it was known for the peace that he would do this thing. And the great injustices were taking place, because I don't know what the ratio is, but I think it's like, you know, 8% of Africa was white, and it was oppressing the other 92%. And there was just, you know, some fragmented mm-hmm. aspects of blending some feathering, and they had different categories and stuff. But it's like 8% is oppressing, you know, 92%. That just is like... Wow,
that's,
you know,
wild.
And then you don't feel bad about that? It doesn't cross your mind? And so, remember, as the church, and we're not talking the church per se, but just so you know, because in history, people who claim to be Christians have oppressed people. And Jesus said he came to set the captive free.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us, now go do what I did. Father, as you sent me, I send them. They were supposed to go set the captive free.
Mm-hmm.
So we as believers, as Christians, Christ's followers, we're not people that are supposed to oppress anybody. Religious oppression, governmental oppression, racial oppression, anything like that. We should be known for setting people free. You know, we're not supposed to call to come against authority, but the fact is that we shouldn't be an oppressor.
Mm-mm.
And so... what happened was, here he is. He's rising up in the African National Congress. President Nelson Mandela, and he's a star, they say, you know, in regards to what he's doing in the context of that. And he's trying peacefully to bring South Africa to Africa to a place it needs to be, of freedom, freeing all. Mm-hmm. And in that, he there was protesters that went out in 1960, and they were had a peaceful protest going on. And in that peaceful protest, the police, the South African police, shot into these crowd of peaceful protesters and killed like 67, and most of them shot in the back. Mm. So here he is. He's doing the right thing. He's got deep tenacity. He is a fighter, you know, in regards to tenacity. But he's doing this thing aggressively in peace. But all of a sudden, things just shift. With Nelson Mandela is realizing that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about George Washington, the father of America that we honor. There was a real thin line between hero and villain, because if he didn't succeed, he knew he was going to be hung. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go into the history of that, but they knew that it was going to be over for them if they didn't win. It was given.
Mm-hmm.
But if they win, they're going to win the freedom for people who wanted to be free in a nation that will soon be called the United States of America, but was not yet, from the tyranny and the control and the oppression of a king. And so when you look, this is exactly the journey that was going on when you look at Nelson Mandela, the thin line between hero and villain. When you really think about it, if you study history, and I'm really just beginning to study history in the last couple of years. I got to admit to you, you know, I was history ignorant. Mm-hmm. ignorant. Because, you know, it's just something that we were so blessed that we were able to live off the labors of others years past, mm-hmm. that you didn't have to necessarily learn it. Our school system didn't teach it. Nor did I really want to learn it either.
That's probably more the case for me.
But it's like, my goodness. George Washington, the father of America, you know, the general, first president and all that. And he's the one, by the way, just so you don't know that, he's on your dollar bill. Is the tension between being a villain and being a hero. Because they thought, you know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, that night their heads could have actually been hung. Mm-hmm. They knew it. And as they stood up and fought for freedom to get off under the tyranny and the control of King George, that that's called a rebellion. The king called that a rebellion. When you read the Declaration of Independence, they said that we believe that our rights come from God, and that He's the one that issues these out, and this is, we can be one nation under God, and that with Him, then we can be blessed. We don't have to have a king if we have King Jesus.
You know? That's right.
And so we celebrate. I see folks, you know, of course, and we want to celebrate what our founding fathers did in America. But when you hear people talk about a founding father like Nelson Mandela in South Africa, I hear other people say, well, you know, he's part of a rebellion. Excuse me, are you talking about George Washington, or are you talking about Nelson Mandela? That's how it was considered. It was considered,
right.
You know, and it's like the tensions between, you know, what is God saying? And God says, don't oppress a people, you know, and God will, you know, transition things to free people up. And so he walked, Nelson Mandela walked in a peaceful way, almost like the counterpart, if you would, at the very same time of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe, because definitely he's Christian, but an apostle, mm-hmm. for our nation, operating under the laws of America and under God's law. And he led us to what our founding father's original intent was, at least God's original intent was for this nation. Well, when Nelson Mandela saw the 67 blacks killed in South Africa just for peaceful protest, then that's when he just thought, this stuff is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began to have the speech. And in the speech that he gave was very significant because it was the last speech he gave right before they imprisoned him because he was part of the African National Congress. He said, I have fought against white domination. I have fought against black domination. And he goes on to says, and that I will give my life for this cause. And when you hear about Dr. King in America, Dr. King, it sounds a lot of the same. You see, listen, that we're one people. We all matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just horrific what was going on because in 1948, when Israel became a nation, we talk about that quite often. When we get to our next program, we've got four programs back to back. We're going to talk about the very moment, you know, the same year that Israel became a nation, that apartheid began in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They began to oppress the blacks and the Africans in South Africa. It's the very same year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, all this great stuff was going on in Israel, and now all of a sudden, you got oppression, colonial oppression taking place, and 8% of the population begins to oppress 92%. And you gotta, this'll help us get in perspective. You know, God, give us a perspective to have compassion. How did we get here? And we'll understand what a hero this man is, honoring President Nelson Mandela, the father of South Africa. And we're going to continue the conversation, this program, about we're honoring President Nelson Mandela, who just passed away, the father of South Africa. And an amazing man, the more you look at his life. And we're talking about also, you know, we're told in the Word of God to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Paul tells us, as he's writing to the Church of Rome, he says, dear brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I mean, how many people, you know, are just offering their gift and they're offering words and they're offering songs, but in regards to their bodies,
mm-hmm.
their bodies still continue to sin. Their right. bodies still continue to walk in disobedience. And they call, so what they do is they just call the other stuff worship, and they call their bodies operating in sin as grace. And mm-hmm. the thing he says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it's like we're supposed, by God's grace in view, is because of his finished work on the cross, Jesus' finished work on the cross of Christ. When we rely and completely depend upon the finished work of the cross of Christ and put our trust there, this, and this is not good semantics, but just to understand, this releases, or God's Spirit, God just says, okay, releases God's Spirit to be able to empower us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, we walk in obedience. And that's why we have processes in life to help us, like, you know, hey, I think I'm going to obey. And then he goes on to say, he says, you know, be transformed. Be transformed. And that word comes from a word in the Greek, which means metamorphosis, to go through a metamorphosis. Be mm-hmm. transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind, that Greek word, where we get mind from, is the word soul, what you think, what you want, and what you feel. We're supposed to be transformed in that. We're talking about Nelson Mandela and the father of South Africa, but we're trying to figure out, because he was transformed. He went through a time that we're going to be talking about in today's program that he was transformed. He went through this metamorphosis, and he had a cocoon called a 27-year prison that just mm-hmm. transformed him. But we're also being called to go through that. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look right now. Those that are watching on Christian Television Network, you can see it, but you also can see it at on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and watch what happens as a caterpillar. And understand, a butterfly lays an egg on a certain type of leaf. Is this the one with the audio, Chris, that has the audio as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Pat, read this if you would as they're going. And that with this, This butterfly, which lives for a very short time, lays an egg on a certain kind of leaf, and this leg goes through a process of birthing a caterpillar, and the caterpillar goes through a part of its life to eating the leaf that it was laid on, eating more leaves, and eventually attaches itself to the vine, and it builds a cocoon around itself. And in that process, because he's holding onto the vine, if the cocoon ever broke loose from the vine, this would stop. He goes through a metamorphosis. He goes from a caterpillar all the way to a butterfly. It's amazing what takes place. But he does it as he's abiding in the vine. And Jesus tells us very specifically, apart from abiding in him, we can do nothing. We're called to be transformed, but that happens when we abide with Jesus. And take a look at this. You got to see this, and Pat's going to read it as it goes.
Like all butterflies, the monarch's life cycle consists of a series of changes called metamorphosis. Life begins as a tiny egg about the size of a sesame seed. The female monarch lays hundreds of such eggs, usually on the underside of leaves. Within a few days, the baby caterpillar begins squirming. It's ready to hatch. First, it chews a hole in the side of this eggshell. For several minutes, it gradually widens the hole. Finally, the infant monarch emerges into the world. Just 2 millimeters long, it's just small enough to fit on the head of a pin. This newborn returns to snack on the nutrient-rich shell. But soon, it's off in search of its main diet, milkweed leaves. Young caterpillars are virtually eating machines. As they grow quickly, they shed their skin several times. Each shedding marks the start of a new life stage, called an instar. The caterpillar prepares to shed its skin one more time by searching the underside of a twig. Firmly attached to the twig, the monarch begins pupation, shedding his caterpillar clothes for the last time. The pupa, as it's now called, takes several minutes to wiggle free. Its plant-like appearance may help protect it from predators during its final metamorphosis. Motionless for about 1.5 weeks, the pupa undergoes a wondrous transformation. Time-lapse photography reveals the exquisite colors of the monarch slowly forming. Its final metamorphosis accomplished. The new butterfly emerges. At first, the monarch's wings are quite small. But over the next half an hour or so, fluids are pumped into the wings, expanding them to their full size. Finally, the monarch is ready to take its first flight. the adult monarch will spend its life feeding on nectar from flowers and reproducing, beginning the lifestyle once again.
It's amazing when you think about that. You think about, we're talking about being transformed. We're talking about President Nelson Mandela, and we're talking about the expectations of God. He tells us, you know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that men are without excuse. I mean, you think about it, when we're looking at God created this whole process where a butterfly lays an egg, the cycle of life. It lays it on a leaf. All of a sudden, it's hatched. It eats, a caterpillar's hatched. Not a butterfly. A butterfly laid a caterpillar, mm-hmm. you know. And you would expect a butterfly to lay a butterfly, but right. it laid a caterpillar. And it laid it on a leaf that if it eats that leaf, it's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it eats that leaf, it'll go to a milk leaf, the milk of God's word.
Mm.
Just eating and eating and devouring. Think about it, God created this. And then it begins to devour that milk leaf and devour it. So all of a sudden he's taken in all of this milkweed. And then after taking in all this milkweed, he knows instinctively, I have to fasten myself to the vine. I have to fasten myself to the vine. So it begins to look for a vine. They called it a twig. It's a vine. And it finds the vine, and it attaches itself to the vine as a caterpillar. And then all of a sudden, it begins to shake off and shed off its old caterpillar skin. And then forms a cocoon around itself. And then as long as it holds on, it goes through this transformation. It goes through this metamorphosis, and it transforms from a butterfly to a caterpillar. We're talking about being transformed, be transformed. And in the context of that, whatever he devoured in this milkweed put something inside of him that empowered him to go through transformation. And when he was transformed, all of a sudden he becomes a butterfly. You can't even recognize who he was. He's been fundamentally transformed, metamorphosized. And we're told to do the very same thing. But we're also told that Jesus is the vine, that God, his Father and our Father, is the gardener, and that we are the branches, and we have to attach ourselves to the vine. Apart from abiding in him, we can do nothing. But if we abide with him and he in us, if we hold on like that caterpillar had to hold on during that metamorphosis while the creator of the universe, God, the gardener, does whatever happens in the context on the outside, on the inside of him, with that milk of God's word, if you would, inside of us,
mm-hmm.
the milkweed inside of the caterpillar, all of a sudden begins to transform this butterfly. Transforms him because he held on. And we with us, you know, we have to abide with Jesus Christ. Yes, we're seeing, we're going to be talking about President Nelson Mandela. I mean, he went through, according to his biographer, the former editor for the New York Times, when he talks about Rick Stengel, that he was transformed through his time while he was in this 27 years of prison called Robben Island. We're talking about Nelson Mandela, President Nelson Mandela, who just passed away, remembering this intensely amazing man and being transformed. In that, I want to know, I want you to some things that I learned as I was looking briefly at history and trying to soak on it and what God is showing to me, that in 1948, when Israel became a nation, which is a great, Harry Truman signed it to the Force of America, we talk about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
but understand at the very same time that Israel was becoming a nation and U.S. was backing it, apartheid was being signed into law in South Africa, which said specifically that the blacks there, the Africans there, were oppressed. They had to have passes, to carry passes. They couldn't live where they wanted to live. They couldn't go where they wanted to go, and they couldn't vote. I mean, they had, where in America you saw, you know, whites and blacks in regards to segregation and that type of thing. They had Africans and Europeans, mm-hmm. and they were saying they had benches that said for Europeans. Wow. I'm thinking, what?
Oh my gosh.
You obviously don't know God, because if you're going to sit on that bench while it's being denied from the people of the land, you know, I'm just like, oh mm-hmm. my goodness. So here, this is in the midst of all that oppression and ignorance that was going on, that Nelson Mandela became a lawyer, the first black lawyer in South Africa. He became part of the ANC, the African National Congress. And he was still doing well, and he was promoting peaceful transformation. He was wanting to still do it peacefully, like Dr. King was doing in mm-hmm. America. But all of a sudden, in the midst, about 1960, there was some peaceful protests going on, which was his method of doing things. And 67 people were shot by the African police, and most of them were shot in their backs. It was just like, what do you do when your mother and your brother and everybody's shot? Mm. We talked about the thin line between a hero and a villain, and the father of America, George Washington, that he was considered in rebellion against the King of England. That's what it was. I mean, you can say what it is. That's what it was. But yeah, at this particular, God was saying this was to be, mm-hmm. and that's how America, God was going to raise up a nation called America. And so we have to understand, when we're looking, we can't throw a gavel down on another nation that God's wanting to free. And out of the results of that, that's what came. But with this, once that happened, and all of a sudden he kind of left the peaceful viewpoint of things, is like, we got to, I guess, defend life. You know, this is just wrong. It can't happen. Violence was used on the people. And so he began to think more of a aggressive, violent situation, you know, based on history. And so they arrest him for being in rebellion. Mm-hmm. They arrest him. And I just, in an earlier program, we got four programs back to back, you got to hear them all, talked about what was part of his last speech was. And it was identical with different words than Dr. King, but he was for all men being treated equal, which is amazing, because if you're 92% of the population and you're still willing to have mercy on the 8% that oppressed you, I mean, I just have such deep respect for you, you know, because you get to say, okay, we're going to do this thing. You see you guys later. Go back to your European up there areas. And so this is what was happening at the time. So they arrest, he thought, this is what he thought. He thought the same thing that George Washington and everybody else that signed the Declaration of Independence did, was that they could be hung that night. I mean, they signed it in closed doors, closed off everything in America. They could be hung. That was going to be the treason, is what they call it. Mm-hmm. You know, rebelling against what establishment is, then it's going to be death by hanging. Mm-hmm. But they felt like there's a cause. I mean, we are being oppressed. We're being by this tyranny. And so we call George Washington the father of America. And we lift him up in the context of saying thank you. And we want to honor what you've done, what you stood for. And that's what's happening in South Africa with Nelson Mandela. He is their George Washington. He is that transitional man that goes from how it was to what it is. And he just stood up and said, this is not right. But it took 27 years. He was in jail. He was on Robben's Island for 27 years. That's like the Angola prison that we have. That's how bad it is. The worst. Mm-hmm. Alcatraz. That was Alcatraz. It's like Alcatraz, isn't Alcatraz, and they're making Nelson Mandela go out daily and bust rocks and, you know, core the stones and all this kind of stuff. And you're thinking, you know, think about Hebrews chapter 11. You know, when you talk about the people that went through suffrage for faith, mm-hmm. what they believed in, it ends with the world was not even worthy of these folks. And I can't tell you where Nelson Mandela was in his walk with the Lord. Others that couldn't walk with him, I don't know, because it's such a distance. But he's shaking the world right now because of his approach and what he's done. Mm-hmm. And honor is owed to where honor is due. And this is a man where honor is due for what he had done. And so he goes to prison. For 27 years, he's locked in prison. And the author that wrote his book, the biography for Nelson Mandela, his name is Rick Stangley, former editor for the New York Times. He says, this is what he says. He says, prison made the Nelson Mandela that we know today. We're talking about being transformed. Mm-hmm. Prison made the Nelson Mandela that we know today. In other words, he wasn't the same man, the man that we see now. He was made that way. The prison, the whole experience kind of made him that way, sort of like Joseph. He said, this is what Mandela tells him when he's writing. He says, I came out mature. Mm. How many Christians need to come out mature?
Yeah.
How many need to go through a metamorphosis?
Mm-hmm.
To go through this, you know. And then he says, the young man, the author says of his book, Nelson Mandela, the young man who went into prison was hot-headed, tempestuous, self-involved, not like anything we know about Nelson Mandela who emerged. He was a different man. Prisoned burned all these excesses out of him.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It's like we want things done in our life, but we don't want to go through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out. Listen to this. Nelson Mandela came out of prison and voted for his first time in 1994. He was elected the first black president of South Africa. We're talking about being transformed, metamorphosized. As we're talked about and told in Romans chapter 12, but also we're looking at a man who went through a metamorphosis that we are recognizing him during this week of mourning, understanding that President Nelson Mandela, the father of South Africa, went through a time of metamorphosis, transformation, and we heard about what the author who wrote his biography said. He was talking about the same man that went in, the man that went into to Robben Island prison there, it's not the same man that came out.
Hmm.
Wasn't the same man that came out. He said this whole process just burned off all the excesses in his life. And Nelson Mandela said he just came out mature.
Right.
He came out mature. I was watching an interview with him, and he's about to become president. He's running for president, became president, and they're interviewing him. And they said, do you think that you have the capabilities to lead, to be able, do you think you can do what it takes to be able to lead a nation like mm-hmm. that? And he says, I'm not going to say it like him because I have one accent. he said, I was in prison, and I mobilized the nation.
Oh, wow.
I was in prison and forced them to do what was right, and I did that from a prison cell. You think about it.
Anything else?
You put me in the capital, I'm going to do much better and easier there. I'm actually going to have some help. You and helping me. And that's a powerful man. I mean, what I think about when I hear that, I think about, you know, when Paul was in prison. When Paul was in prison, the Apostle Paul, they thought they could stop him too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that President Nelson Mandela was an apostle or not an apostle. But you can look at the comparisons. I mean, you got to give honor where honor is due. And this truly is a father of South Africa. His actions has freed the South African people, and they're in a democracy today because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And apartheid's gone. And so he comes out of prison, and you're thinking, Let me back up just a little bit. In 1988, there was an international conference taking place in London. And in this conference, it was in apartheid. It was all about in apartheid. Just let me tell you this. It was segregation and domination. This is what that means. So when you say end apartheid, we'll just say this way. There was a concert that took place in, I believe it was London. There was an international conference broadcasted around the world. Sting and some other ones was there. And it was about end segregation and oppression in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, it was Nelson Mandela's 70th birthday. So they were celebrating his 70th birthday. And so they was like sang songs about free Mandela, free Mandela. And it broadcast all around the world. But they didn't let it broadcast into South Africa, obviously, because mm-hmm. of the 8%.
Right.
And but obviously, God responded to that because 2 years later, Pat, mm-hmm. 2 years later, 24 months later, approximately, the Klerk, I can't tell you the president's name at the time, white president, you know, he knew the writing was on the wall and that's what needed to happen. And so he freed Nelson Mandela from prison after 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the terrorist watch list because he was a communist sympathizer for quite some time and still may have been, I don't know. But up until 2008, until President George Bush's administration, where he removed him from the watch list.
Huh.
And in the context of that, if you're oppressing me and you're oppressing me in the name of the Lord, and I see a way that all this 92% can have clothes and medical treatment and mm-hmm. not be beat and shot in the back and all that, and you happen to call it communism,
mm-hmm.
and I call it taking control to make sure this doesn't happen anymore. And what happens is when you wrongly oppress a people and you wrongly do that, that it's gonna twist into whatever. So you can't oppress a people and then blame them if they come out. Because that's not God. If you call yourself in the name of God oppressing folks, it's the same devil that's going to have communism. You know what I'm saying? It's the same mm-hmm. thing. It's oppression, control, it's all the same. But, you know, you'd put names on things. But if somebody says, you know, we don't want this to happen anymore, and all of a sudden they start developing a form of government that allows the people to have equal chances, equal protection, equal medical care, not be shot in the back with peaceful protests and these type right. of things. You cannot say that's wrong. You got to say, this is what we had to do because of the oppression that was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Or the church can preach the gospel and begin to be the church and men get set free and get blessed and get forgiven and godly men and women move into a place of leadership and God begins to bless the nation like he did Israel. So here he is after all of this apartheid and wrong treatment and just, you know, you're going to be able to, on the VFN torch today, you're going to be able to get a picture of one particular beach, and it says that it's only for Europeans. It's that whites only, I believe, with the particular, it says white area. I mean, think about it. It's 92%.
Unbelievable.
It's Africa. 92%, these are rough estimates, are black.
Mm-hmm.
8% are white, and they had the nerve to put a sign on the beach, and you got to see this, a sign on the beach that says the Division Council of the Cape declares that this is a white area. And it's like, and so you're thinking all that was going on. So here's Nelson Mandela coming out of prison, a transformed man, a mature man, a man that all the excesses, according to his biographer, have been burned off. And he realized, when you listen to his interviews and talking, he says, I realized what I was doing was not going to produce what needed to be done. He didn't have the same desires to see people free, but he realized what would do it would be forgiveness, mm-hmm. that you're going to have to walk around with mercy and the ability to forgive. And that's just so powerful that it's rocked the nation that 50-some-odd leaders from around the world are coming to his memorial this week. Today, they're flying in, I believe. Five of our presidents, living presidents, are going.
Mm-hmm.
President Barack Obama, President George W. Bush, four of them, President Jimmy Carter, and President Bill Clinton, and amongst other leaders of the world. And they're going because this man came out of there a transformed man. He went through a metamorphosis. He wasn't the same man. His biographer and Nelson himself said coming out that he had been transformed. He realized that this way this thing will be transformed and this nation will be led to the place that we desire it to go is to a place of mercy and forgiveness. And he practiced this, and it's exactly, to me, the message that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was speaking to America that we need to follow in America. But he said, I mean, the first thing that happens is he votes for the first time, I believe, at the age of 70, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And but by the time he's out in 1990, by 1994, he was elected. And it was a big deal because you're looking at this division factor going on with apartheid, which is done away with, that whites and blacks were standing in the same line to vote with no problem with it. And that was beautiful.
Wow.
Because normally it's a small number of people that oppress a large number of people. And most of the people don't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the fringes that feed off that kind of stuff. But then they voted all, you know, just overwhelmingly for President Nelson Mandela to be the first black president mm-hmm. of South Africa, which is, you know, it's a black continent. Why would you think, you know,
he'd be the first,
but that's what happened. He was the first, and he ended apartheid. He came out and he had a council. He signed a decree that says we're going to have a council. It's a council of time of amnesty that anybody who wants to come and share about where they went through a time of trial and injustice and, you know, atrocities. I mean, think about it, since 1948, what's taken place. And you can just openly share. And they had a council set up, and it may have been about 15 folks. I don't know, but Bishop Tutu was on it and other ones are on it. And you could sit there and you could tell the pain that you went through. And if you watch that, it was amazing. You know, people from around the world sitting in the audience listening to the pain of the black Africans and what they went through. And I say black Africans because you have this 8% who call themselves Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, healing came to South Africa because people began for the first time were able to say, you know, I was abused, and this happened here, and I lost a loved one, and there was brutality was happening here, and they're just weeping and crying, and they're just listening. You know, part of healing someone quite often is listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just listening to them, just speaking out loud. And the word forgiveness, that you think about, it really means exhale. So sometimes you just have the stuff inside of you, you just need to go, whew, just kind of let it out. And what happened in the context of South Africa, because one of the first things that President Nelson Mandela did was to let South Africa exhale and just vent of mm-hmm. what happened and provide amnesty because it was so bad that everybody's going to have to go to jail. Right. It was so bad. We got to get through this time. And in the context of that, he used a sport. Rugby was a very popular sport, and it actually was the oppressor sport. It was the ones that were into apartheid big time, and they wore this green jersey. And we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about how he used the very clothing and sport of the oppressor to win the heart of the oppressor. Just amazing, man. We're talking about Invictus situation, the movie Invictus that was done as a movie. Was about a reality a thing that took place of how he unified South Africa, and he did it through a sport that was basically known as the oppressor, this rugby, this sport, and he chose to unify as the president, around a sport that would be known as an oppressor. And you think about this, it was powerful, because what he did was he led and focused on, okay, we're going to focus on our national sport right here. They focused on the national sport. It was all white at that particular time. and said they were going to unify around this. And when they won the World Series, the World Cup, this is what was said of that day. This is what was said of that day is that he became, that was the day that white South Africa anointed him king of South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? There was so much wisdom. I mean, he had 27 years to grow in wisdom in the context of that, but it was the wisdom of, that can only come from, you know, when you think about spending time with God, that kind of wisdom. And I'm looking at right now an article in blackchristiannews.com, and they talk about in Easter 1994, a speech before his election, Nelson Mandela referred to Jesus Christ as our risen Savior. And it was, this particular article is written December 7, 2013. And they say a few years before his election in South Africa, as a South African president, Mandela gave a speech at the Zionist Christian Church Easter Conference on the 3rd of April, 1994. After reading the Beatitudes, which is in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, he began to praise God for the good news. This is a quote, the good news born by our risen Messiah, who chose not one race, who chose not one country, who chose not one language, who chose not one tribe, who chose all mankind. Each Easter marks the rebirth of our faith. It marks the victory of our risen Savior over the torture of the cross and the grave. Our Messiah, who came to us in the form of a mortal man, but who by his suffering and crucifixion attained immortality. Is this powerful?
Wow.
And he talks about this. We're going to make this available to you. You can read his speech in its entirety. And he is coming. His first speech before he became president was about Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And he's openly acknowledging Jesus Christ as his Savior, which is beautiful.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, and you can see that coming out of his life. I mean, he has that kind of fruit when he's talking about a time of healing and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Now, the whole world is coming to pay honor to him because of his life. This is what I would like to be able to say. And tomorrow we'll be talking about the first, second, and third great awakening by God's grace. You got to catch us. But know that if one man who is willing to go through such suffering can affect so many, because standing up for what's right. That makes me think of Joseph. You know, Joseph went through a time of suffering. He did nothing wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. It was a time of suffering. And his very own just rejected him. And guess what? They sold him into slavery. I mean, the one thing you can compare President Nelson Mandela with in his journey is it looks a lot of similarities to Joseph because his brothers put him in prison.
Right.
Unjustly, or put him in slavery, and then ended up in prison, falsely accused of something he didn't do. But yet, when he came out of prison, and the ones who persecuted him, I'm talking about Joseph here, they were around him, and they were terrified because they realized how they had treated him. I'm sure a lot of people in South Africa were terrified when Nelson Mandela came out of prison and he became president. And Joseph stood around his brothers and those that had treated him this way and sold him into slavery. And he told them this. He said, what you meant for evil. And don't forget that. It's so important. Understand that God will use people's evil intentions to bring to pass his will. Mm-hmm. So if somebody evil gets something over on you, you can trust, even though it was evil and even though they meant evil, God's going to turn it out for good. Because he said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. God use your evilness to be able to free a people. And in the context of that, here we are today watching that this evilness that was coming against Nelson Mandela was used, and it was evil, used to free South Africans from apartheid. And just a beautiful thing. And it also makes me think of one more transformation. It makes me think of God's Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he walked on this earth. I mean, he was, first of all, transformed into being all man and all God because he was God in the beginning. And he was born of a virgin, born to walk this earth, to empathize with us, to understand what it's like under this darkness and oppression and all, because he wanted to free us. He saw us in captivity. He saw us in captivity, and he knew it was wrong, and he wanted us to be set free. So he came, and he walked on this earth, a sinless life, doing nothing wrong, but yet he was still treated unjustly. He still was called every name in the book, even the name of his adversary, when that wasn't even who he was. They called Jesus Satan. They lied on him. They cheated on him. They spread bad news about him. They wouldn't let him into their government. They wouldn't let him into their churches. They just isolated him. He had to be on the outside. God, Emmanuel, Jesus, because he loves you. This is his journey. And he went through this transformation to become from God, become man, all God, to be able to fill the infirmities that we have in our day-to-day life and all this oppression so he could empathize with us and explain us to the Father, but also make a way for us. So he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to take on all of our burdens and all of our sins and that ever was and that ever will be. And it was placed on him because he loves the Father and he loves you. And as they were nailing him to that cross, I mean, think about it, of all the things he could have said, because it was all unjust. He deserved nothing. He was not only perfect, he was God. He said, Father, he's talking to God. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mm-hmm. And when Nelson Mandela came out of this prison, he came out with that same heart. Yeah. Forgive them. I forgive them. You forgive them. And he began to win the heart of a nation, and now the heart of a world. And the Lord wants to win your heart, because this is what he said. He said, Father, forgive them. Hold not the sin against them. He went into a prison cell. He went into the depths of a tomb. But on the third day, he was raised from the dead, fundamentally transformed forever, all man, all God, to sit at the right hand of God, to make intercession for you and me. And if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you too can be set free from the oppression and the darkness that has been holding you back. Thick darkness covers this world. A blanket of darkness covers this world. Thick darkness covers mankind. But I tell you now, the light of the world has come, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to take you to a fundamental transformation. You can be transformed into his image and his likeness when you say, you know what? I'm going to abide with you. I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. If you don't know how to abide, if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. And to abide, go to iabide.org. God bless. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more in viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.